Deer Trucking Awesome. What do you think of when someone says tough? Honestly, I think of a Toyota truck. Tundra's one mean mother of a truck with a twin-turbo V6, an incredible going power, and the Tacoma claws through terrain with a taller suspension and lots of creature comforts in the cockpit. Both Toyota trucks are decked out with tons of cool features and tech you'll dig. Check them out at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast. We got the deadline wrap-up show live for you here right now to talk about a really weird deadline day, actually. Like, the actual day was pretty darn weird. Avs don't really do much. The only thing they do is Ben Myers to Anaheim for a fifth-round pick. But, of course, they did most of their business yesterday and the day before.
Yeah.
So,
a lot of business.
Five total trades for Colorado, including one today, which gets the keeps the streak alive. So thank you for that, Ben Myers. Yeah. All told, the Avs end up acquiring, it ends up being 2 fifth-round picks because they got one back.
Yeah, that one's
in the Sealer or in the Walker deal.
That one's in 2026, I think.
Is it? Sure.
Yeah.
They get Sean Walker.
Hells yeah.
They get Casey Mittelstadt. They get Brandon Duhaime. They get Yakov Trenin and that fifth round and those 2 fifth-round picks that I mentioned. They lose Ryan Johansson, Ben Myers, a first-round pick, and 2 third-round picks.
They also swap.
And Bone Byram, of course.
They also swap Jeremy Hansel for Graham Sword.
That is also true. They did do that.
Let's do this. Let's take a look at it.
The in and outs.
Right, it's a lot. It looks like a lot.
It is a lot. I mean, there's a lot of shakeup there, but realistically, it's only 2 roster players out, despite at least 3 roster players in, 4, depending on how you feel about Brandon Duhaime. Well, he'll be a roster player for sure, but actual lineup player, not sure. Initial feels from you guys on the Avs deadline. How successful were they?
When you look at that list right there, you look at off your NHL roster, Ryan Johansson, who was a bad fit and you're a black hole in your forward core and the biggest problem on your night-to-night skating portion of your roster. And Bowen Byram, who has been a significant disappointment this year in his level of play. Off of your defense
for sure,
and in the place, I did not include Curtis McDermott.
It was a couple days before the deadline to swirl.
If you want to be mad that I didn't include those guys
for a 7th, yeah,
be mad. And in those guys' place, you have your second line center Casey Mittelstadt, who's a real true blue bona fide second line center. Brandon Duhaime, who is a hard fourth line wing. Who's just a heavy player who may or may not play for you. Yakov Trenin at the moment is slated to be the fourth line center that they were looking for, and another heavy player, and Sean Walker to replace Bowen Byram. Right-handed, fleet of foot defender who is excellent on the PK, which is a theme throughout these acquisitions. So how do you feel about those trades, the NHL upgrades, because the picks and all that stuff, in my opinion, are pretty immaterial.
Agreed.
to how prepared are they for this postseason run. And we'll be talking plenty about what didn't happen. But as far as the body of work of what actually got done, how are we feeling?
The things they did for me is it's an A, man. They solved their lineup's biggest problem. You can make an argument that they actually got better on defense, given what Bo and Byram has given them this year. And while they may have not gotten out and gotten a specific 4C, their forward depth is pretty darn deep now. It's hard to argue that they don't have 13 NHL players in their forward core. How they all fit, we'll see.
It's interesting to see it put immediately to the test because no Zach Parise and no Logan O'Connor for tonight's game.
Yep.
But Duhaime
drops right in.
And Mittelstadt will play right away. And Trenin will play right away. And then Val Natushkin comes back into your lineup.
Yep.
So you're still at a plus here.
Yep.
You're at a plus two in terms of upgrading forward spots here.
Oh, I mean, I love what they did. Yep. I think it's they swung. They didn't stand path. They were awesome. They addressed a lot of needs. The 2C, the Sean Walker, I think is an underrated acquisition.
Agree.
It's gonna be awesome. They're a better lineup. Now they're tougher. They're meaner. When I say tougher, is ready to go take on a playoff series with Trenin and Duhaime, and
especially Trenin, who will be a nightly player. No questions asked.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And Duhaime will be good, too. Like, stop picking on the French guys. God damn it. I mean, come on, man. And then, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. I'm excited. Yeah, my only downfall is, I'm not going to shy away from what I said about getting some goalie help, surrounding him better.
Yeah.
Didn't happen. Sounds like the Kakkonen thing was going to be... give us Anninen, we'll give you cap, and I'm glad they didn't do it. You know what I mean?
Because
younger guy.
How much better would you have felt if it was Kakkonen for Anninen straight up?
No, I mean, you feel better because of the experience right now. But I mean, then by the summer, you're like, oh, crap, what did we do? You know what I mean? So, and I wouldn't have done that. So, but I just, again, we'll go like this, look, and I won't talk about it ever again. I'm going to go like this, knock on wood. Touch wood and Randy Wood. I mean, not Randy, but Miles Wood. Brandy's is that. I'm disappointed because I was like, I'll be really disappointed. But it's over with now. Like it's 2:43 right now. I won't talk about it. And we'll just keep pushing and then hopefully those two guys do the job and
that's the hope.
And then we go from there. But other than that, I thought it was a masterful juggling of the roster.
All right. Chat, you did get us to 600 likes on the actual trade deadline show. So thank you very much. We appreciate y'all a ton. These are for you. Get ready for the takeover. Yep. It's going to be a long night. So you feel really good about the Avs guys that they got. Yep. I think everyone was hoping they were going to do a little bit more today. They didn't. I guess they traded Ben Myers for fifth. Whatever. They didn't change their roster at all today. Does you knock them a little bit for that, or are you okay with it?
So, if you would have told me a week ago, that the Avs were going to solve their 2C spot long term, they were going to replace Bowen Byram, which they used to solve their their 2C spot long term, with a perfect fit top four defenseman for them, and a 4C that checks every box that you want except for faceoffs. I'd have been thrilled, and that was all they were gonna do. I'd have been thrilled, and for me, those are the three guys that move the needle for this deadline
the most.
Brandon Duhaime is fine. I think he's gonna be a good fit. He brings that heaviness.
He
brings a little
play,
extra depth.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's fine. He's fine.
I agree.
But those three guys are impact players.
Yep.
And Yakov Trenin, I think, is a guy that if it goes well here, they need to have a serious conversation about trying to find a way to keep. And Mittelstadt should be here for multiple years. They did not do that to just turn around
to let him walk
every
1 year. Yeah.
But he's an RFA, so there's no there's no threat of that.
No excuse.
But definitely those three guys moved the needle for me. And if you would have told me a week ago that would be their deadline, I would have high-fived both of you and said, hell yeah, let's do this. Mm-hmm. So I feel that same way. I can be as disappointed as I want. I can be as disappointed as I want that they did not get the backup goaltender or another defender. I've also said a couple of times, I just didn't think that they were in dire need of another defender. And they feel a way about Jack Johnson that we don't. So we know they didn't feel a certain way about another D.
Yep.
So ultimately, though, I just think it's and surprisingly, there just weren't that many.
Yep.
Like depth defenders that got moved at this deadline.
Really,
just not really. There were a couple. And Colin Miller became less of a fit once Sean Walker got here, and then Joel Edmondson was a bad fit from the jump. So,
you watched Edmondson and Stetcher get moved yesterday, and you're like, that's about it. Colin Miller was really the only other one.
Yeah, and then like Noah Hanifin.
Well, that was never.
But yeah, I mean, we're talking depth guys. So I really, the areas that they did not definitively answer. There's no backup goaltender that has experience that you are fully comfortable with saying, if we have to turn over the keys to our cup run to this guy, we know we're going to get a base level of play, or we feel confident we're going to get a certain base level of play. That doesn't exist with Eustace Onnen, and I don't care who you are. You could feel all the confidence in the world about him, but it's not based on reality. It's based on hope. Right now, that's just where they are with it. We think that he, is part of their goaltender of the future plans, probably why he was not moved for Kaapo Kähkönen, because they feel a certain kind of way about him, too. And that was a bridge too far. I would also, you didn't find a surefire, this guy is the guy that you're going to put in the faceoff circle at the end of games.
Yep.
Ryan Johansson getting traded was your best faceoff guy.
You got worse at faceoffs.
And you got worse in that area. Yakov Trenin has not played a significant amount of center in the NHL and does not take faceoffs in his career. So you are talking, as much as I love the addition of Yakov Trenin, there's puck marks there.
Yep.
And questions to be answered. And maybe it goes fine. Maybe he adjusts and it's not a big issue and he rocks. And we all love that acquisition even more. But you can look at those areas and say, they came up a little short here. But how much? I've always said, you do not pay exclusively for faceoffs.
Of course.
You go and get a guy that can play the position but also takes faceoffs. Nick Dowd didn't get moved anywhere. As far as we know, we're doing the show. Who knows?
Unless the queue's just been AFK for an hour.
Yeah, straight up.
Computers were down.
Nobody went and got Nick Dowd, so we're going to have the same exact conversation a year from now. Mm-hmm. So I would love to have those two things, the backup goaltender and a surefire faceoff specialist on the fourth line, and a little more comfort that the guy that's going to play 4C for them is going to do a good job there.
You would always like more than you have.
Yeah.
But you can't have everything.
Yeah. And there's a cost to all these things. Yep. So, they leave about $2 million of cap space on the table.
Yep.
That's fine.
Same.
They created five in the initial trades that they made at first. And then they used up, they had 4.9. They finished with a little over two. It's fine. They went to work.
Distraught that Curtis McDermott is no longer on the lineup, that $2 million in cap space is whatever.
Yeah.
I can understand wanting a 4C, wanting a 6D, wanting a 2G, whatever, and maybe being a little bit disappointed that they didn't go out and get that one more piece. But they have still made themselves significantly better. At this trade, at least on paper. Obviously, you never know what happens in the games, but
huge.
It's hard not to feel really good about the moves they did make.
Yeah.
However, they are going up against a Winnipeg team who went out and made multiple moves, as well as a Vegas team who went out and broke the NHL.
Yeah, let's focus. Let's stay in the Central for the moment.
Sure.
Because those are the immediate.
Yeah.
Colin Miller and Tyler Toffoli are the moves there.
And Monty. I mean.
Sean Monahan in totality. We'll count Monahan.
Yeah, yeah.
Did they do enough? Dallas adds Chris Tanev, and I believe that's it.
I don't think they did anything else today.
So it's easy to look and say, okay, Colorado made the highest number of moves. Did they make the highest impact moves? Which one of those teams solved their problems, truly solved their problems? Because I think Winnipeg with Monahan did, but also adding Toffoli also did. And Colin Miller is just a guy that, you know, he might be able to push Neil Pionk off the ice if
push comes to shove.
If they decide, you know, if he's really struggling, or any of their guys, Dylan DeMello, if one of those guys really struggles at some point, Colin Miller can be a guy that helps them out, and he's a solid player. We all like him. He's you know, a third pairing guy that can help. Did they do enough?
Well, they got Hellebuck, right? Winnipeg.
It's a that, pretty right good. There,
I mean, yeah. I believe in the ass. I said it at the start of the year. I hate saying you guys know me enough. I'm not that. I do believe they come out of the West. I do believe that. They had to do something to come out of the West. Earlier in the year, I was like, oh, they'll come out of the West. Last week, I'm like, okay, they got to do something to come out of the West. I didn't like the comeback from the break. I didn't like the Nashville game.
The Nashville game, you know, really, like, it was like, it hit.
Hold on a second. They got to do something here. I think they hit it out of the park, what they've done these past couple of days. If you go back to Winnipeg, Hellebuck scares me. He does. What am I going to tell you? He just does. I don't care, though. You don't need a goalie. Really? Okay. Well, Vegas, great, awesome. Hey, listen, getting goalied is not fun. You know what I mean? Because it's like, are you kidding me? You know what I mean? And this guy can goalie you. He can.
Has done it to a lot of teams this year.
That's it. And then as far as Dallas is concerned, sometimes – Goose said it the other day, right? The moves you don't make sometimes are the ones that, you know, pay. I'm sure they were in on stuff. It didn't happen. Didn't work.
Yeah.
So they did get Tanev, which they needed to get better on, you know, on their decor. You know what I mean? Which, and don't forget that sometimes you don't know until you have an injury. And next thing you know, the Stankov and guys done awesome since he's been up.
Great for them.
You know what I mean? He's been great. And sometimes you're fit and then, I always say, right? Make an impact. Make them, all of a sudden, they're like, shit, we might be onto something with this guy. Maybe he just came up for a couple of games. That was the plan. And who knows, right? You know what I mean? But, who else? When did he come up? Is it because Sagan was hurt? Somebody's hurt. Like, he just came up when somebody was hurt. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, I got something.
Yeah.
And then he's like, and he's got jam, he's got pace. Is it not working? Oh. Is it jam, pace? Can we hear me? Or no? Yeah. Anyway, so next thing you know, they're still a good team, Dallas, right? You know, they're still, but don't underestimate that Stankoven thing. You know what I mean? It's youth, it's young, and you know what I mean? Like, well,
in the way fun. That the Stars are adding Stankoven as a de facto deadline addition, the Avs are totally adding Val Nichushkin.
Yeah,
exactly.
True.
Oh, no, 100%. Well, so, you know, we were talking about the, you know, Winnipeg,
we're
Dallas,
focusing on the
deadline
stuff.
You know, I think that teams got better and teams want to show each other that, you know what, and again, Vegas got better. It's not Central, but, you know, that's the point of the deadline, right? You want to get yourself better.
I mean, when I look at Winnipeg, I think it really is a head-on thing with Colorado. You know, they may not play in the first round or whatever, doesn't matter, but who do you like better as an acquisition generally at 2C? Sean Monahan or Casey Mittelstadt?
For their respective teams, I think they're both happy.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like, and moving forward beyond this year, Colorado.
Obviously.
Absolutely. Like, easily.
Oh, yeah, I mean, yeah.
But I think both of those guys fit better in the, if you swap their positions, I think they both would be misfits.
But I'm saying, and guess what? If they do play a playoff round against each other, those two are going to go head-to-head.
Yeah.
Right at each other. A little bit less true of the head-to-head part on the back end, but Sean Walker or Colin Miller?
Well, you certainly like, Sean Walker.
You like Sean Walker, and I get it's a little bit different because the Avs are replacing Bowen Byram with that guy.
Yeah.
But you're looking at these acquisitions and you're seeing two teams that are going to go right at each other on paper. And if you look at it on paper, personally, I have the as box checkmarked for forwards and defense.
Top to bottom, apps, like no doubt about it. I think what you have to really be worried about from that perspective, if you're Dallas or Winnipeg, is that Colorado loves to play fast.
Yep.
And at times it comes at the expense of playing heavy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Sean Walker is not going to play a particularly heavy game, but nope. Oh my God, is he going to turbocharge that defense?
They're zooming even more.
Because right now, I've said this a couple times. I feel like I've said it 100 times in the last 48 hours, but
probably have.
Sean Walker has outplayed Bowen Byram this season.
Yep.
It's not about which player is going to be better over the next 5 years. Which guy helps them right now? Sean Walker helps them right now.
Yep.
His skating and his ability to jump into the play are going to add another dynamic element that was way too inconsistent with Byram. So that's a problem, that element of speed. You know what also makes the Avs much faster? Val Nichushkin,
yep.
Yakov Trenin, yep. And Brandon Duhaime.
Bunch yes. of burners for sure.
All guys that skate and play heavy games.
Yep.
And when you go even back a little bit further and you add Zach Parise,
mm-hmm.
another guy who skates, he's not heavy, but he grinds.
Yep.
There's nothing soft about you. Now you're looking at Colorado's bottom six. You have Logan O'Connor, Ross Colton, Miles Wood, Brandon Duhaime, Yakov Trenin, Andrew Cogliano, Nikolai Kovalenko, who does not play a soft game nope, by any stretch.
Not at all.
Where's your weak link here in terms of hard to play against? Who's the easy guy to play against there?
There isn't one.
You have all guys, and the Avs are scratching yep. at this point, a guy or two.
Yep. Be it Cogliano or yeah. Duhaime or whoever it
whoever,
is.
Yeah. And, you know, none of this considers the X factor of Gabe Landeskog and all that. Well,
if that happens, it happens.
What will be, yeah, will be. A plus. That sounds, yeah. You know. What will be there. But Colorado's bottom six is significantly more playoff ready than it was a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it has not sacrificed the skill and speed that define what the Avalanche want to be.
Exactly.
And then you add Val Nichushkin to the top six. Oh, great. And then you add Casey Mittelstadt to your top six. Okay, you don't get much physicality out of Casey Mittelstadt, but you do get a guy who plays a peskier game than you would think.
Yep.
For a guy his size. But the skill level goes way up.
Yep.
Oh, good. That's what they needed.
More skill.
Wonderful. Because now you're no longer selling out to stop Nathan MacKinnon. Because if you are...
Here comes Casey Mittelstadt and Val Nichushkin.
Much higher chance that those guys beat you than Ross Colton and Miles Wood.
Yep. Miles Wood's on your fourth line now.
And now Miles Wood and Ross Colton, Logan O'Connor, assuming health, obviously, which they're not 100% yet, but those guys are now your third line.
Yep.
For the first time all season, a third line playing third line matchups.
Yep.
Not a third line taking on second line matchups because Ryan Johansson was an anchor around everyone's neck.
Tough.
You are a lot harder to play against. And Winnipeg, is Winnipeg a lot harder to play against because Sean Monahan and Tyler Toffoli are there? Absolutely.
Yep.
Makes them deeper.
They're top nine. Yeah. I mean, with Mark Scheifele and Kyle Connor, Nikolai Ehlers. Yeah. Now you have Sean Monahan and Cole Perfetti, Tyler Toffoli, Vlad Namestnikov.
Yep.
Nito Niederreiter, Adam Lowry. Are they hard to play against? Do they have a lot of skill?
Yep.
God, yes. They are and they have a Vezina caliber goaltender in net.
Yep.
That's a problem.
Yep.
The Avs have a better defense.
Yep.
So there's push and pull, but.
But they certainly have a lesser goaltender.
These two teams feel like this is no offense to Dallas, who I think is a little bit of smoke and mirror right now. But it feels like Winnipeg and Colorado are on a crash course to figuring it out.
I tend to agree.
I'll say two things about this, though. Yeah, we addressed the PK, you know what I mean, with those moves. And, you know, not just in Walker, but in like Trennan and Duhaime and, you know, up front, back there. Two parts that I like about those moves. One, always remember that internal competition is huge.
Yeah.
And that was one of my things for the goaltending. I said I wouldn't come back to that, but that, I'm just saying that was one of my things. I just feel that sometimes it's just, you know, it just pushes you to play better. You love doing your roster. You're like a coach. You know, both of you are like coaches. You know, I always say coaches, like, you know, they always like got their boards out and then they put names there. You know,
they live to roster bait.
That's what I'm saying. They live to roster bait. You know what I mean? And then, yeah, where's this guy gonna play? Holy shit, Cogliano might be out of a spot, or you know, Duhaime might be like, why'd they get, you know. That's what internal competition is. I love it.
Yeah.
They haven't really had it this year or last year because of injuries, you know. Keep your eyes out. It makes you like, oh really? Like, you wanna do nothing? Well, you better do something because you won't be in the lineup. So that's a big thing for me. Internal competition. And then B, as you can see tonight with LOC. Parise, he's French. His dad's French. Parise, all right? So I hate to try to say a French name in English. His name is Parise, all right? What it does is you're not taxing guys down the stretch.
Yeah.
If they're banged up a little bit, you know what? Let them rest. Let them go. And we have other guys. And, you know, let's keep going. And then, but it does create, with my first part, the internal competition too. Like, oh, okay, I'll take a couple of days off and, you know, oh, okay, I'm healthy now, I want to go back. This guy did well when I was gone. I better do well or else I'm shit. I'm gone. I'll be the shit bag, right? You know, so it's like, I'm telling you, like, it creates all that. And I do love that. There's a little bit of a crowded lineup right now.
Rising tide raises all ships.
It does. And then again, we're dealing with no injuries and stuff like that. Let's pretend there's no injuries, you know?
Yep.
So again, we're dealing with minor ones. And then obviously Gabe doesn't count. Like, Gabe comes back. We all said, hooray, it's awesome. It's a plus. And don't forget, your beloved guy, Kovalenko. You know what I mean? It'll be interesting to see how this guy adapts to the league. And they're going to let him loose a little bit. Go see what you got. You know?
What I really like about this deadline especially is, a week ago we said, if Nichushkin comes back,
yep,
if Kovalenko comes over and is an impact guy,
yep,
and if Landy comes back, wow, that forward core is crazy.
Now those feel like bonuses.
Now,
well, not Nichushkin.
Now one of those has happened.
Yeah.
And the other two what ifs.
Yeah.
You aren't reliant on those what ifs.
You're already good.
You are not reliant on those what ifs to be good. If those boxes get checked,
you're right.
That's a great problem to have.
Yeah.
Wonderful. You can figure it out. And even if Landy comes back, he hadn't played in the NHL in 2 years, he's going to get dropped into the NHL in the Stanley Cup playoffs. He, you know, expectations we'll have to be a little more muted.
Yeah.
You might be talking about Miles Wood as a healthy scratch at that point.
Yeah.
Like,
that means your lineup's pretty effing good.
Like, you have built a really deep forward core.
I told you those two are coaches.
It's a deep forward core. The other aspect of this that I really like, there's a lot of wing versatility here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brandon Duhaime, both wings.
Yeah.
Trennan can play center for you or wing, depending on what you want.
Trennan, because they don't have a better center option right now, is a little more handcuffed to the 4C spot.
But maybe you see Kovalenko there. Like, but we'll see.
You can try that at the end of the regular season, and you can see how that goes. But Nichushkin, Lehkonen, if he comes back, Landeskog, whatever happens, these are all guys that wing versatility.
Play wherever.
This guy's a right wing. This guy's a left wing. You know, Mikko Rantanen, he's a right wing.
He only plays the right side.
Zach Parise, that guy's a left wing. Yeah. Those are not guys that have spent a lot of time in their careers finding success moving around.
Yep.
They are who they are.
Yep.
But around them, wing versatility, all around them. And so that's just additional versatility, additional options based on injuries.
Very quickly create a top nine that is, you want Drouin on the first line, you want Drouin on the third line.
Exactly. Drouin another wing guy.
You want to split up Mac and Mikko, you have the pieces to move around.
You can try things, and depending on the team that you're playing against, you can maybe match up a little differently. Oh, do you want to go into a series against Dallas and bang a little bit more? Phrasing. Brandon Duhaime is the guy for you. Do you want to maybe go with a little more speed and hopefully a little bit more skill? Maybe Miles Wood is the guy for you. You know, whatever you decide is right, though, when you're healthy, your forward core has gone from, Jesus, these three lines on a night-to-night basis are struggling to score. The defense is the true second line. Okay. We have talked about the defense being the secret weapon, second line for the Avalanche for the last 2 years.
It's all still true. Yeah.
That's all still true, but now you have an actual second line that Casey Mittelstadt, Jonathan Drouin, and Val Nichushkin might be a first line on some bad teams in the NHL.
Yep. I'll say this. Remember we said you can be about winning or you can say you're about winning. Obviously, they're showing that they're about winning. Now with a crowded lineup, here's what I'll say. You can say you're about the team and you can be about the team. So some guys, when it's crowded like this, their minutes will get diminished. And you have to be able to accept it and play for the team. So I think it'll be interesting to see. I do believe they have the right guys and the right people to...
Yeah.
But it's always something to keep an eye out. You know what I mean? Yeah. And you're in it together. You go, and sometimes it is crowded, and sometimes it's, you know, it gets uncrowded because of injuries or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So you got to be ready to go, and you can't be about yourself. You got to be about the team.
We're going from Joel Kiviranta playing 50 games for the Avs to not even sniffing the lineup in the postseason.
He's not even a, like, could get in the lineup.
Yeah, guy. He's like, he goes from, he's played, I think, 49 games for them right
something
now.
Something like that. And to like 15th forward.
He's going to be your, I think, 16th, maybe, depending on the injury status of Chris Wagner.
Sure. Fair.
K. Like, that's building a lot of depth. Yep. And I know we had talked about one more defender.
Yep.
But
hey,
you've got the six that you're going to roll with. Seven is Caleb Jones, who's been a pretty good seven this year. Eight Sam is Malinsky. Sam Malinsky, yeah. And then after that, it's probably Brad Hunt, and then after that, we'll see.
But Malinsky's had a great audition this year.
Yep.
So I do believe there's a trust factor now, a little bit there. You know what I mean? If need to be used, it's not like, who is this guy? He just played at Cornell. He just showed up last week. You know, he's got a certain amount of games. He's gotten
games this year,
give and take. You know, And then he's played in the, you know, American League. So again, college, God bless. I was a college guy. My son plays college. I call that the cocktail league. It's a weekend league. I mean, you play Friday, Saturday. Great. Awesome. You bust 20 minutes one way, 30 minutes the other way. I mean, come on.
It's funny.
But it's tough to play in this league. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
To every day and get on planes and to travel and time zones. It's a lot. So I do believe he's getting accustomed to that this year. So I do feel good about
the NCAA wall is a very real thing in professional hockey.
It is.
Yeah.
But it's also good that they didn't really tax Malinsky in a sense that, you know, a little bit there, a little bit here.
Yep.
You know, be ready to go here if they ever need to be. Like,
yeah.
I think we'll feel, and they feel better by adding him, you know.
So. And if they need a 10th, maybe Sean Behrens can jump in.
If you're at 10, you're down bad, man.
Yep. And yeah, if you're four defensive injuries deep, you're probably not getting out of that round.
Yeah. And I want to look at Dallas briefly, too. I know they didn't do a ton at this deadline, but if you're Dallas, who right now is the Avs' most likely opponent in the first round of the playoffs, you're looking at their forward core and defense and going, they're just us, but better. Because they're two teams that are pretty similar, but the Avs have the higher end. They now have the solidarity throughout their forward core.
Yeah.
You add Sean Walker in a response to them going out and getting Chris Tanev. Again, I understand it's replacing Bowen Byram, but that's a step up from Byram mechanically on the ice this season.
Yeah.
And then you look at goaltending, and I know you're looking at goaltending and Georgiev has to be better, but Dallas is saying the same thing about Jake Oettinger right now. Oettinger hasn't been all that good this year.
Yeah, Oettinger and Georgiev, shockingly similar numbers. If you blind put them next to each other,
they'd be pretty
and
said, close.
Tell me which guy is which. Player A, player B, tell me who they are. And you flip over the name cards and it's Alexander Georgiev and Jake Oettinger. You might go, okay, what's up with this?
Yeah.
That's the one area where the Jets have a giant advantage.
Yep.
But you also look at just the personnel on the defenses of both the Stars and Avs, and you think, in a 7-game series, is what the Jets have done this year going to hold up? Is Morrissey enough?
We're going to find out. Well,
I read something maybe about the Jets here 2 seconds ago, right there, about the Avs haven't beaten the Jets this year. This is my take.
Okay.
I'm not the Messiah. Never look at regular season wins and losses.
I knew you were the right choice for this pod.
Right. I mean, because I don't remember the games against the Jets. I really don't. But sometimes it's you catch them. It's your third game of four nights. The other team's been rested for 3 days. So never look, not just the Jets, anybody's record against one another. It means jack diddly squat.
I believe, at the top of the Central Division right now, it is still held true. Yeah. The Avs have beat the Stars every single time. The Jets have beat the Avs every single time. And the Stars have beat the Jets every single time.
Yep. Yeah.
So...
Yeah, I just...
Are we really making anything of that? Especially like one of those Avs-Jets games came in November. Yeah. Another one came in, December, January? Like,
that's what I mean. Yeah, I don't remember.
It's a different hockey team.
Was it a Sega Bubba? Was it a different hockey team?
It's a different hockey team.
When you play someone in the playoffs, it's not just somebody in chat right now. You play in the playoffs, they always go back, head-to-head this year, that team was 3-1. I mean, God, again, yeah, they made three acquisitions since that time. They had four injuries. I mean, it's playoffs. It's a fresh thing. Everybody's playing the same amount of games on the same amount of nights.
Yeah.
There's no advantage there.
Yeah, your opponent and you are on the same schedule.
It's just like, that's it. Yeah. And it's very important to remember that.
Yeah. You guys said it, right?
Yeah.
You go back to the Winnipeg games at the start of the year, forget all of the trade deadline acquisitions. They didn't even have Zach Parise back then. Like,
exactly. Yeah.
For a lot of those games, they didn't have one of Arturi Lehkonen or Val Nichushkin.
Very true. Like,
remember Arturi Lehkonen got hurt in the 11th or 12th game of the season, like a minute in.
Yeah. Yep.
And Colorado's forward core never has had a chance to truly gel. In the way that they built it. And then, by the way, they just went and added a shitload of talent to it at the deadline.
Yep.
So you're going to see a very different beast in the Avalanche forward core for the last 18 games. And maybe it doesn't work, and it's a weird misfit, and it just never gets off the ground. And they lose in the first round again, and then we have to come back in here and, okay, what are they going to do to readjust? What didn't work? What did work? How are they going to, they've got a lot of money decisions.
What does the Middlestat extension look like?
They've got a lot of financial stuff that they have to sort through this summer. Right now, they're sorted through it.
Yep.
Now it's winning time,
singular
man.
Singular focus now.
Yep. There's no more talking about the deadline as a forward-looking thing. It's done. It's over. There's no more, this guy can come in and help you. This guy can do that. Nikolai Kovalenko might come in and help them. He's going to play. We'll see how he does. We don't know where he's going to fit. He's still a big question mark. Gabe Landeskog, we don't know if he's going to play. Nobody does. Please stop putting percentages on it. It is driving me crazy on a personal level.
It's just made up.
Nobody knows. What the hell does an 80% chance that he's going to play mean? What's the 20% chance? How did you get to those numbers? Where did they come from? How would they know that? This is an unprecedented surgery in terms of NHL players returning to their lineup. There's very little track record of it happening with hockey players in the middle of their careers. Nobody knows. No. We have no idea what's happening with that. If that guy comes back, great. These, again, are problems that you'd happen. They're good problems to have on the fly. But right now, with the lineup that they have, assuming that Logan O'Connor and Zach Parise's injuries truly are day-to-day and not week-to-week, not, oh my God, what's going on here? They're pretty good. They're a lot deeper. Good. They're built to handle those injuries at the moment. The guys they went and got are built to help them. You're going to have, maybe a fourth line? I guess I would have to write it all out with Nichushkin coming back in. Yeah. But tonight, Duhaime and Trenin are actually on your fourth line?
Yep.
And Gilbert just said in the chat, too, it's about peaking at the right time.
Yeah.
And it's a big thing. Remember
this
that
is what
word.
I was telling you peaking. When the Jets were not losing games in the middle of the season.
Yeah, I know.
And I kept saying, I love to peak in December and January. This is a great point. I love this peaking point. Please continue.
Yeah, I know. That was Gilbert's point. I mean, that's, it's a big thing. It's a big thing. You know what I mean? People are like, but you suck back then. Whatever. Yeah, great. But also, we were good right now. That's what matters.
Yep.
The one other thing I want to touch and could potentially be a problem for Winnipeg if they win the Central Division, your reward might be the Vegas Golden Knights with a $99 million roster.
In the first round.
114, they said. 114, isn't it?
Magically.
I don't know. Yeah.
Magically. Having a conversation of, now Mark Stone's back in your lineup. Now Alec Martinez is back in your lineup.
Tomáš Hertl shows up.
Yeah, Tomáš Hertl should be back before the end of the regular season.
What do you even say about Vegas with what they went out and did at this deadline?
They killed it.
They.
It's a fantastic deadline.
They went all the way in. They know it's their moment to try and go back to back.
Man, did they go all the way in? Because that Tomas Hertl deal was...
They blackmailed Mike Greer.
30 cents on the dollar? What the hell was he thinking?
That's a tough one.
Dude, David Edstrom had better be fucking awesome.
Dude better be in the Hall of Famer.
Yeah,
at that price.
Because I thought in the draft last year when we were talking about him, I was like, maybe this guy ends up as Trent Frederick. That's not enough for Tomas Hertl. No,
that's a real... I mean, I don't know that any look can save that trade for San Jose's side, to be clear, but that would be bad. I want to have this...
That's tough, dude.
I want to have this conversation very briefly. We don't have to get too far into it. Can the NHL continue to allow shit like this?
They'll address it, but are you going to address it in the next CBA? I mean, that's...
Well, it's easy to ask that question because we rely on things like engagement.
Sorry, that's funny.
But, yeah. Yeah, Greer is getting a funny ring, too, is a good point.
That's a funny one.
It's easy to ask that question, but how do you reasonably expect to fix it?
How can you fix it?
Yeah, what do you do to fix it?
And I don't know.
And that's, I don't have a good answer to it. I
don't know.
And the one thing I'm going to struggle with this year is I just don't want to hear it from Avs fans. I get it.
They may well be about to do it with Gabe Landeskog.
The Avs may benefit a ton from this exact thing. I understand that Vegas has done this multiple years now. Tampa did it a few years back. Chicago did it with Patrick Kane way back in the day. I get it. It's just, you're just playing the game that's in front of you. You're playing the game that you're allowed to play. If at some point the players decide that the rules need an altering, fine. But for me, I'm just giving full props to Vegas, and I'm saying great job. It feels grimy. I don't like it. But
them's the rules.
Yeah, they're playing the game, and they got San Jose to somehow agree to that shit.
Yep.
And to eat money? What in the...
What was it?
They're not going to get the second first-round pick? Was it not going to be... Was it going to be Brendan Brisson instead of David Edstrom? Like, give me a...
They got 2/3 back. It's the most insane trade I've ever witnessed as an adult.
Awful. It's awful, dude. It's really, really, truly awful. So I'm just not. It's allowed by the league. You need to start playing the game that's in front of you.
Until it's not allowed, you should be doing it if you're serious about winning.
There's a bunch of avenues about it that are grimy and that I don't like and that I can sit here and complain about, but. It is what it is. You have to go and win hockey games with the team that you've built.
Yep.
And they've built a good team that has had a lot of problems this year, and they got a lot better in the last 48 hours
they
themselves.
Sure did.
So now the rest of the West has a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
A big problem.
I don't want to hear the East is great, buddy. The West is stacked.
I don't want to hear. I also don't want to hear it. The East, get away from me.
No, stop it.
Not that the East is bad, but what we saw a lot of last year in the East of a bunch of teams loading up the turrets and getting going, that was the West this year.
Yeah.
The West said, we're going for it.
Yeah, because a bunch of the teams out West last year were like, eh.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Not this year.
Now the teams out West this year were like, I mean, the New Jersey Devils have a clear-cut need at goaltender, and they went out and they got Kaapo Kähkönen and Jake Allen.
Yep.
The East just is deeply unserious right now. None of them can feel that good about where they are.
Yep.
A bunch of them burned that gunpowder last year in those trades. So they didn't go for it. So a lot of those guys, a lot of the teams out West this year had the opportunity.
Yep.
That's another good one. That's a funny one too.
And like some of these teams have been really good.
That's funny.
Florida is a great example.
No, I think Florida might be the cup favorite, to be honest with you.
Did Florida need to go do anything crazy?
No.
You know, they made a
Tarasenko yesterday.
They got Akposo today.
Yeah, and Kyle Pozo's pretty close to done.
Yeah.
And Tarasenko's not the guy that he was, but the prices on him were totally reasonable.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure.
Great. No problem.
It's going to be a barn burner for the West. I'll tell you down the stretch here in those first two playoff rounds. It's going to be something crazy.
Shit, yeah, I'm scared of Vegas. They're great.
Vegas that includes a healthy Mark Stone and a healthy Tomas Hertl, yeah, that's fucking scary.
Like, that's a great team.
And they're the defending champs. So,
like, they're staring down the barrel of healthy scratching, like, Nick Hague in the postseason so that they can bring Alec Martinez back into their lineup. Like, they've built a really, really good team, and they have a goaltender who just won a Stanley Cup. The Avs do not. Like, they're a great team.
Yep.
I would love to see Colorado and Vegas in the Western Conference Final. Let them sort it out. Let two healthy rosters sort it out.
May the best team win. Yeah.
Hey, they get their guys back. Bring Landy back. Let them sort it out.
Yep. I'm here for it.
I'm all about that, man.
That's what the playoffs are about, baby.
But at the moment, that's not that. The Western Conference Final would be the only path to that. So the Avs have a lot of work to do in the Central Division, and for my money, they leveled up, and Dallas didn't do enough.
I agree with Dallas not doing enough.
Dallas, I wonder, looks back on this deadline at the end of the season, saw the two teams around them really going hard in the paint,
and said, maybe we wait one more
ends
year.
Ends up as the third seed, having to travel. And if they don't win their first round series, did they do enough?
Yeah, I don't think they did. And obviously, you have to go out and play and win, but it really feels like Winnipeg, Colorado, and Vegas left Dallas in the dust.
It really does, especially because that's the team. We've said this before. Dallas's biggest problem this year is winning games in regulation.
Yep. Which is the way you have to win them.
The Avs have 8 more regulation wins than the Dallas Stars right now.
Yep. Tied in points.
Like, you are getting by. Like, hey, the Avs were overtime merchants last year to win the division title.
They were.
And what happened? They lost in the first round.
Yikes.
Because you don't get away with that shit in the playoffs.
Yep.
There were a lot of things that contributed to that, but there were a lot of things that contributed to them being overtime merchants in the first place. That's the Stars right now.
Over 100 likes on this. I'll drink to that. Cheers to the Stars being in the dust.
Cheers to the Stars.
Woo. Oh. It's an interesting deadline because you feel really good about the Avs and you look at their direct opponents in Winnipeg and you go, all right, game on.
Woo.
That's all I have unless you guys want to dive into other specifics.
No, I just thought it was a fun deadline for the West because it turned into an arms race really quickly. Yep. Each of the teams out West made big moves. You know, the Oilers went and got Adam Henrique. The Canucks kind of did their business earlier with Lindholm.
Yeah, they had already done a lot of it.
The Jets, Avs, we talked about, even the Stars with Tanev. Yep. There's a big move for all of them out there. Vegas went huge. The one team that you're kind of looking at here, the LA Kings.
Yeah. What supposedly tried to do the Olmark thing and it didn't work. And now they're kind of nowhere.
You got turned down.
Yeah.
That sucks.
It does suck.
Also, the conversation in here about the Vegas missing the postseason, it would take a serious collapse by them by that to happen. Yes. The teams behind them just aren't very good, haven't been very good all year.
And they'd have to make up 6 points.
They would have to be 7 points better than Vegas over the last 18 games. That's a lot of ground to make up. It's easy to look at it and go, oh, that's they only need to be 3 wins better, but
when the other team's allowed to win too, it's hard to be 3 wins better.
With all the problems that Vegas has had this year, they've been about 500 for the last like 3 months, but that's still enough to have them where they are.
When you're 6 points back, if they go 500, you need to play 750 hockey to overcome them, basically.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's not to say that it can't happen. Look at the winning streak that Nashville just ripped off.
You could do it, but it would take a lot.
Yeah. But that's the hard part of this is that Nashville ripped off that winning streak and put them.
They're the one team that separated.
Put them in the big time driver's seat.
Yep.
To be one of the two wild card teams.
Yep.
Vegas still for me. Vegas is still a major favorite to beat the Kings for one of the three Pacific Division spots.
Sure. Given this deadline, for sure.
Absolutely, that's what I'm saying, man. So I'm not truly entertaining the idea that Vegas does not make the postseason. The West isn't deep enough for that conversation.
But to add to the LA thing there,
you
got to remember, like, everybody's a human being. So,
not Kale McCarr. He's an alien.
He is an alien. Everybody is a human being. So always remember, the Kings had to do what they had to do. they go, it gets public that they're trying to get Ullmark, and then it doesn't
That's
work.
Tough.
You also got to go back to your two guys in net and say, hey, you're awesome. You're awesome.
Well, too. And remember, we talked in the offseason.
That's tough.
Yeah. One of the reasons that Cam Talbot is an LA King is because he wanted to play for Todd McClellan.
Yeah.
He's not playing for that guy anymore.
But that's what I mean. But today it's like, that's bullshit. We didn't try to get Ullmark. You guys are our guys. It's not true. Don't listen to the guys. So it's, I hate those no trade things, whatever. I hate that. I mean,
just to reiterate the point about Vegas, you look at the depth of the West. St. Louis didn't do anything at the deadline. Minnesota, actively sold at the deadline. Calgary, actively sold at the deadline. Seattle, kind of sold, didn't really do anything.
St. Louis didn't really like.
They didn't do anything.
No, they didn't do anything, dude. So, yeah, Vegas has had.
Signed Lundqvist, Oscar.
Yeah.
Vegas has absolutely struggled to win games. So have all those teams.
Mm-hmm. True.
And those are the teams. The onus is on those teams to outplay Vegas over the last 20 games of the season. I keep saying 18 because that's how many the Avs have left.
Some of them have 19. Some of them have 20. It's whatever. Yeah.
So it's crazy. Yeah. Thoughts about the any thoughts about the East? We can get into next week. Honestly,
yeah, that'll be a Tuesday Wednesday show.
We have a lot of days coming up where you know we can
taking some days off.
Yeah, we can really dig into some other stuff here.
We'll plug in some guests coming in. You know, like remember like we talked about coming in to visit us.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be nice on the couch. It'll be fun. So.
I'm excited for those things to happen. Yeah, the thoughts in the East is just kind of like, cool for them. We'll see. I don't know what Kyle Dubas is doing.
True.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
I'm sure we'll talk more next week about it when we can break down some of the good, best and worst trades of the deadline. Right now, Avs focus, and the Avs do have a game tonight, so we have to go start getting prepped for that.
I will say the last thing I do about the Pens reminds me a little Crosby right now reminds me a little bit of late career Sakic. Still really good, still really effective as the team consistently gets worse around him. You just kind of feel bad for him.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't want to leave. He's never going to leave. There's none of this. Oh, he's going to get moved somewhere.
He looked defeated last night.
Yeah, he did. And you kind of just feel bad that it's ending like this.
Yep.
You know, but at least with Ovechkin, it's like nobody cares. He's still scoring goals. He's in the chase for the Gretzky goal record.
For the rest of his career.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's just like the winning games doesn't matter. And with Crosby, you know, it's just a different.
Yeah.
It's not to say they have different priorities or that they're different, whatever. One's better than the other. They're just so different.
Yep.
And to see it kind of ending the way that it feels like it's ending right now for Crosby and Pittsburgh, it's sad to watch.
It's not fun for sure.
It's sad. It kind of bums me out, but.
All right.
It is what it is.
On that note, we are going to wrap up this show. We appreciate all y'all hanging out with us all trade deadline day. We will have a pregame show for the Avs game tonight against Minnesota with all of these new guys in the lineup. So check that out when it goes live later tonight. And then, of course, we'll have a post game after the takeover as we are going to Ball Arena and taking over the game tonight. But we'll have a post game very, very late if y'all are still up and jonesing for Avs content. Tune in to that. We'll break down all of the new guys in their first game in Colorado. We appreciate you all so much. You guys have been awesome today. We're out here doing the work, and you guys are showing up for us. So thank you very much. We did get one super chat, looks like, that I'll get really quickly. Dan, with a bunch of check bucks, says, Eric, do NHL players follow deadline moves? What goes through an NHLer's head seeing a VGK circumventing the cap like this? Could these moves raise a special VGK aversion among players?
Of course the guys follow the deadline, especially with social media. I mean, everything's right there, and their agents and their families, and guys do follow it. Not as far as Vegas and stuff like that. Guys are competitors. You know, they don't really care about, you know, if that's circumventing or whatever it is. You know what? The guys like the challenge, and guys like to, you know, for me, I like that. I like that Vegas is going for it again. And it's like, you know what? Perfect. Let's play against you. Let's see who come, you know, mano a mano, who comes out of the West. I love it.
I'm ready. If you're not... If you're not enthusiastic about this, all this going on around you, you're not meant to be
hockey
in a Stanley
might not
Cup chase
be for you. Yeah.
It's just you're not serious about winning a Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
If this is if you're not waking up and living and breathing the moment that you're in and the opportunity that you have in front of you to try and be part of something really special, really great,
yep.
then you can go on and you can have a nice 10-year career and make a lot of money and get traded a couple wares and end up in Lehigh Valley. So, you know, you just have to be – this separates the people who are serious about winning from the ones who aren't.
It does. It really does.
All right.
We're out of here. Thank you again. We'll see you later tonight. Until then, talk to you later.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team. We'll talk about your least favorite team and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.